Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday, October 29th, 2023. This is the Fakeologist Show. This is where we discuss media fakery, psyops, hoaxes, and anything else that deals with deception. And we have a real wide-ranging set of topics all the time just to keep things interesting. We started off talking about 9/11. But now we've branched out into just about everything, including COVIDs. And tonight, I'm going to bring on a new guest, someone we haven't heard from before, but someone who is attached to a previous guest that we've had on a couple times named Fake Nukes Phil. And I think because of Fake Nukes Phil channel, I started watching Jim's channel. I think that's how I came about it. But that's what I like about research, because you never know where you're going to end up when you're talking about fakery and deception. And I don't really limit myself to any one particular topic because I get easily bored and distracted. But this is a topic that is what we call the third rail, especially in most Western nations, including Canada. So it's not that I haven't been interested in talking about it necessarily, but I am aware of the ominous threat to certain topics, which I've always disagreed with. I have been studying media my whole life, and I've always liked really contrarian personalities. And there was one guy I used to read in the North Shore News in Vancouver, British Columbia, named Doug Collins. He wrote a column called Get This Straight. And he was an English World War II veteran who really was outspoken against the official narrative of World War II. And he always got himself into trouble. He was always being pulled in front of the tribunal, the newspaper tribunal. And then when we in Canada started our Human Rights Board, they started dragging him in front of them for hate speech. And this is in the 80s. So that's how I first knew that there was a problem with many narratives, but I didn't really understand at the time what was going on. I was only younger and I wasn't into media fakery at all. That happened in 2012, as everyone here knows. So now that the whole world was turned upside down for me in 2012, I question everything. I mean, everything. And, you know, every single story that comes across the wire today, I automatically assume it's fake. And that's why I'm the Fakeologist, and that's why I call myself such. So tonight we're going to touch the third rail and talk about, if we're even allowed to in Canada, I don't even know what the law is, but we're going to talk about revisionism, and specifically probably the Holocaust. And my guest tonight is Jim Rizzoli, and he has his own BitChute channel, and his partner sent me a huge biography just before the show, but I'll probably let Jim tell us the highlights from that biography. Otherwise, it sounds like I'm reading it, which I will. So welcome to the show, Jim.
Well, good to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, sure. Tell me a little bit about where you're from. The first thing that I noticed when you started talking is you have a Boston accent, and that is such a unique accent. You can't cover it up. You can't hide it. So I'm assuming you're from the Boston area.
Yeah. Yes, I am. And you have to admit here, I speak the Queen's English. So just remember that. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm from the Boston area. Actually from a city now called Framingham, 20 miles west of Boston.
Okay.
And I was there, you know, probably, well, all my life. Yeah. And right now I live in Texas. I moved down to Texas. But I still got the house up in Massachusetts. My brother lives in it, and we both own it. So, okay. You know, that's the way that is. So in regards to myself, I consider myself a video guy that, you know, gets information out there. All right. So I don't write. I very rarely write. I hate to even do big emails, but, so I got my start back probably around, I'd say 2002 up in Framingham, we had a big problem up there with illegal immigration. And I got into that with my brother. My brother actually got into it first, but then I finally got into it. And we started, you know, complaining about what was going on in the town at the time with illegal immigration. It was really a problem. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about it. And we finally put together some videos. We got on cable TV. We started doing shows every week, and we put the information up on cable TV. And we had a pretty good following. We had a lot of people follow us, and they liked what we were saying, you know. And we made a lot of enemies too. A lot of people didn't like what we were saying either. So that was the first topic that I really got into. That was a really good topic. And then later on,
sorry to interrupt. Yeah. That was the cable access channel you were on?
Yeah, I was on cable access. Yes.
Which means that so anyone can get on that channel, or do you have to pitch them a show to get on there?
Well, you have to. In the beginning, it was very easy to get on. You just make a show and you put it up, and they let it go, and they put it on. So it was not a problem, getting a show up there.
Right.
And we actually had four shows a week on the cable station. So we were the biggest cable people on there. I mean, in regards to production of shows, so we produced our own shows,
right?
Which not many people did, And so anyway, we got a lot of publicity up there at the time. In fact, it got to the point that dealing with the illegal immigration problem, the major news people actually would use us to be the other side of illegal immigration. They want to know what's going on, and we'd be, they'd come to us to talk to us. We were very well known up in the area. I mean, we got on mainstream TV. We were on radio. We were all over with that. So that was, claim to fame, I guess you would say, in regards to that. And as time went on, we got into other topics. And around 2008, I believe it was, something around there. I forget the dates, but it was around there, 2008, 10, something like that. I started dealing with the third rail topics, the topics that, are going to be really dicey for people. They're not going to be really happy to hear about them. The illegal immigration problem, everybody wanted to hear about that. There was no problem. But when I started getting into revisionism, the Holocaust, those type of issues, then we started getting some, feedback negatively. And they eventually took our shows off of TV, off the cable TV. So that's what happened there. So that's, that's basically what I did back then. But I continued on, doing videos, particularly dealing with that topic. And, I'd put them on YouTube, and I'd get a lot of information up on YouTube. But eventually YouTube didn't want to hear the topic either. So they took my, I had actually 10 channels on YouTube. because what they do is they take that one channel down, and I put another one or two up. They kept taking them down.
Everywhere, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's how they work,
Oh yeah.
I mean, I actually still have YouTube videos on YouTube. They probably don't even know it. All right, it's probably kind of a goof up on their end. I don't know why, but anyway, I got 400 videos up in YouTube still under my name. I'm not going to even say my name because someone will report me and they'll take them down. So I'm not going to say anything.
Well, that's why I started my own video platform called FakoTube. I've been doing podcasts since 2012, and I host them myself, so I don't really have to deal with anybody regarding what I'm talking about. But as far as videos, my stuff gets put up and then it gets taken right down. I just got tired of dealing with it. So I started my own video platform, which costs a bit of money, but that's why I use the donations for mainly. I'm pretty transparent about it. It costs me a couple hundred a month to run. Yeah. But on the other hand, I don't have to worry about my 7,000 videos being taken down because as well as anyone, it takes a lot of work just to upload a video and a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I've got my own video platform and it works pretty well, and I've got it backed up. So if something happens to that, I can eventually get it back up. But Yeah, I guess I'm not even talking about what I think are our third rail topics, although media fakery and psyops and hoaxes and integrated capstone events and drills portrayed as real, I would say are probably almost as third rail as the Holocaust topic. But right. Most people don't buy into it, so they don't really have to worry about people believing it. So probably I'm not really a threat. Because most people just discard anything that I talk about.
Right. Well, I don't think you're going to have to worry even about me being on your show. You see, I'm the one that's being interviewed.
Yeah, that's true.
And you see what I'm saying? They really can't stop you from interviewing people because that would really not look good. Yeah. It's like, wait a second. Yeah. Here's a controversial topic. I want to talk to the guy and you're telling me that I can't have him on the show. That's kind of going above and beyond if you ask me. So I wouldn't even worry about it on your end.
I agree.
I don't think you have to be afraid of anything like that. And I don't think there's a problem, but it's good that you have your own, stream thing that you can do. And, if I get banned on my BitChute channel, now I'm coming up to about 4,000 videos on BitChute. That's quite a bit.
That's so amazing.
I have a lot of videos there,
the thing I hate about being on someone else's platform is they can click one button and you're gone.
Oh, no, I understand that.
And, and how many hours have you put in uploading stuff and creating stuff? It's ridiculous. I would be able to, that to me is just so powerful. I assume you've got all your videos sitting on a computer at your house.
I got terabytes of videos. Yeah. Terabytes. Yeah. I mean,
so if you can put them back.
Yeah. I mean, you I can't be afraid. You keep going until they stop you. That's all. Then you start over again. I mean, I'll just have to start over on another. I mean, if I had to go to you, I'd ask you what it is and
how to do it. I would help you out. I'd set you up. No problem.
Yeah. So I don't have a problem with any of that. But right now, I'm on BitChute. That's my main channel. That's where I communicate with everybody. And we have Odyssey, but I think Odyssey, something's going on with Odyssey.
Yeah. They have a currency called the Library Coin, I believe. So they've tried, they're sort of getting into trouble with the SEC because they've got a currency linked to their channel. I don't know if it's for paying creators or what it is, but that's, and you wonder, did they set that up on purpose just to potentially get taken down later? I mean, a lot of these sites are honeypots. I'm sure of that.
Even
BitChute.
Oh no, there's no doubt in my mind. Anything that you can get information out is going to be monitored. They're watching you, especially free sites like BitChute. I mean, remember, you don't get anything free. They're giving it to you so they can get something from you.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. So,
and if it's not really apparent how they're making money, then, somebody big, either the government or some NGO or some benefactor is funding them because, as you say, they cost big money to stream videos, period. Audio is not so bad. Videos are ridiculous when it comes to bandwidth. So for sure. But so how did you get, you started in around 2002, 9/11 happened. I assume you probably weren't necessary. What did you think about 9/11 at the time?
Honestly, I never really got into it. I was so busy doing my immigration stuff and all that. I mean, I had plenty to talk about, and I really never jumped onto the 9/11 bandwagon.
So how did you get right into the third rail topic? And for all those people that don't live in a city with a subway, the third rail is the rail that runs along the two main tracks where the electricity that powers the subway is. So if you touch it, you'll die. So that's how it works. So that's why it's called third rail for anyone who doesn't know. And I think Boston has a subway as well with probably electric subway. So how did you get right to the third rail topic? Cause you go from zero to 60 really fast. Cause immigration's kind of a bland topic.
Well, there's a couple things happen with me with that. Back in 94, or 95 thereabouts. I came into a fellow that he was actually part of the religion I belonged to at the time. I mean, that's a whole nother topic. I actually was a Jehovah's Witness for quite a few years.
Yes, I've heard you talk about that.
Yeah. And but anyway, this is really the beginning. I mean, when I talk about Ernst Zundel, that's like the second beginning. But the real beginning was this. Detlev Federer. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But
no.
Anyway, oh, no, he's like an unsung hero in the revisionist movement. Not many people know who he is, but he really started something there that was really good. And here's what happened with him. Because he was, I came across an article in the Jehovah's Witnesses information. They had a yearbook they used to put out. And they were talking about, I came across it, you know, reading it, you know. And they were talking about people during the Holocaust. I forgot what camp they said it was or whatever. I think it was just generally speaking. And they said that there were like 10,000 Jehovah's Witnesses that were in prison in Germany during the war. And, you know, I thought that was kind of high.
And I think they wore the purple star, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yeah, they had their own little triangle, actually.
Oh, it was triangle, okay.
It was a purple triangle. And so what happened was I found this guy, Detlev Federer, you know, he's saying that there was only 200 people that were in the camps or whatever. And I said, well, that sounds more realistic because there's not many Jehovah's Witnesses in even the whole world at the time. You know, this came out in like 1975 or something like that. All right. Yeah. And so I questioned the numbers. And so then I got in touch with him. I found out who he was, and he was an ex-witness. And the reason why they kicked him out was because this was one of the reasons, because he was, you know, he was showing that the witnesses were saying X amount of people were in the camps when that wasn't really true. And then he questioned it, and you can't question the witnesses. I mean, you just can't. They don't like anybody telling them anything. So this is what happened. Okay. He got kicked out. And then from there, you know, then I went, you know, that's in the back of my mind now. So then a couple of years later, it's probably around 2003 or thereabouts. I come across Ernst Zundel, and again, here's this guy named Ernst Zundel. Now I remember, I don't know nothing about him,
right?
And he's talking about, well, he's not talking about anything. I find out that he's getting kicked out of the United States. He's a white guy. He's getting deported back to Canada. And I'm saying, what the hell's going on? He's a white guy getting kicked out because of immigration violation. And I'm saying, we've got thousands of illegal immigrants all around me that are doing this.
I got it. Yeah.
And they're not getting kicked out of anywhere. And he's getting kicked out. So I looked up Ernst Zundel. And then I came to find out he had a Zundel called the Zundel site. And then all of a sudden, boom, right in front of me is all this information about the Holocaust. I says, what the hell's going on here? And then I got into the Holocaust topic, you know, pursuing it now more. And it was really good. And I learned a lot from Ernst Zundel, and I saw what they were doing to him. And I mean, it was great. I learned a tremendous amount of information. And then I saw, you know, what happened with him. They kicked him out of the country. He was married to an American. He was living in the United States, Tennessee. And he's getting kicked out. He goes back to Canada. He's put in jail there in Canada for a couple of years. And then after that, they kicked him out of Canada, and they sent him to Germany because that's where he was originally from. And, anyway, that's what happened with Ernst Zundel. But that's what got me into the Holocaust. And, you know, I just started investigating and reading a lot about it. And here I am now. So simple and sweet.
Ernst Zundel, yeah. I at the time, just remember him wandering around Toronto in his hard hat. I thought he was a kook at the time. So I never looked into it. It wasn't enough publicity even back in the 80s for me to be a questioner of anything I was told. And I don't even think we really learned about the Holocaust in school, to be honest with you. I went to school in the late 70s and 80s, early 80s. I just don't remember the topic. We all we got in Canada was Canadian history. It's the most boring history you can imagine. We didn't even learn American history. And I was talking to somebody your age from Maryland, and she was even taught a lot of European history, like the 30 Years' War. Because I asked her last week, I said, how did you learn about all this? And she said, we were taught in school. I said, wow. So you really got an education about this kind of thing. But
the thing with Zundel, here's the thing. Okay, that's why I'm surprised. I just listened. I put the video up on my site just yesterday or today. I can't remember. But anyway, I put up the Holocaust trial. You'll see it coming down. Yeah, there it is. 6.5 hours. And if you want to learn about the Holocaust from Zundel, a Canadian, he's a Canadian now. This was big during the 80s. All over the world. This was a world-shattering event, him being brought to court because of his viewpoint on the Holocaust. They're trying to say he was spreading fake news about Holocaust.
That's the only law they had that could sort of apply. It was a really ancient law that applied to, you could not spread fake news about the king for obvious reasons. That's the only thing they could jam him with.
Right.
And to be honest with you, after I became a fakeologist in 2012, when I looked into Zundel a little bit, I thought he was kind of controlled opposition in the sense that he made the whole thing look really stupid so people wouldn't look into it, and or he was ridiculed for looking into it. But when I started researching it myself, I thought, wow, this guy seems actually pretty genuine. He made a couple really critical immigration mistakes. Like I can't remember why he said he never became a Canadian citizen, which was his biggest downfall because that's how they tossed him out.
But I don't think they let him become one. I don't think they would let him.
I can't really exactly. I think he didn't want to be for some reason, because I think at the time, maybe it was because Trudeau, number one, was the crime sinister and he was a Fabian socialist. And I think Ernst was sort of looking into that, and he just, I can't remember, but.
Well, he ran for premier or whatever your thing is there. He actually ran in politics. So I don't know how he could run in politics. What's that?
Zundel ran for politics?
Yes. He was running for, what do you call your president?
Parliament. Maybe he ran for parliament.
No. He was running for the main guy, like Trudeau. I mean, that's.
Okay. The way it works in Canada, you have to become a member of parliament. And then if you're whatever the leader of the biggest party is, then
he was there. He was right up there. He gave a talk in front of thousands of people. And I mean, this was a big deal back in those days.
I don't remember that. But still, that was his main downfall. That's how they were able to toss him out, because he was a German citizen, never became a Canadian citizen. And it was easy to bounce him out.
I know, but see, okay, I see what you're saying. When he got tossed out after he went back to Canada,
right?
See, he went
had
back
no to- legal right to stay in Canada because he was not a Canadian citizen. That's all.
Yeah, I, you know.
So it's like, to me, that seems really kind of, why would you not do that? Like, he wasn't an American citizen either. I think he applied, but he couldn't stay there either. So that was the suspicious part for me. But the more I listened to him over time, I thought he was fairly genuine. To be honest, I didn't really see any anything to be really suspicious about, and especially his last speech he gave in Mexico. I thought that was a really touching speech. I played it a couple times because now I see his point. Now I see why he was doing it. He was really not doing it because he really was disputing the numbers just to get into trouble. He was really trying to defend the honor of the German people and say, listen, we're not monsters. You know, and now, because I don't believe any stories, I really don't think most people are monsters and are eating babies, basically, because that's really the equivalent of that. That's how you demonize an enemy.
You have to look at it this way. He lost his business. He lost his wife. He lost everything. I mean, he had nothing. He was completely devastated by this Holocaust trial. Now, why would he stand up for truth and justice here and lose everything else. See, that would make any sense. Now, I could see if you said he made out and he was living like a king somewhere and he had a lot of money. No, yeah. Just the opposite. He took a stand because he was trying to defend the German people and trying to show you what they're trying to say about the German people.
Yeah.
It's wrong. He's defending that. Lost everything. And, you know, that's what happened to him. So he was definitely, he was genuine. What I see out of him, everything I know about him. So.
And I have to question anyone, like, what is your motivation? Because in the end you die, he died sort of in poverty, I guess. And he was bounced out and he ended up back where he started in his homeland in Germany. But yeah, you have to, I always ask, what is the motivation? Like, maybe people just aren't made the same way today. What motivates someone to do that? I guess that question can be asked of you. What motivates you to stick to this one third rail topic where you know that you have nothing but opposition everywhere you go?
Well, it's a good question, but my reason's different. See, my reason, I'm not defending anybody's loyalties. I'm not defending any country. I'm not defending anything, even though that comes into play. My reason was, you're telling me I can't talk about this?
Yeah.
You see, free speech. That's why I got into this.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't care about the Germans, really. I didn't care about the Jews, not mm-hmm. really. Who cares? But wait a minute, you're telling me that I can't talk about the Germans? I can't talk about Jews? I can't talk about the Holocaust? Oh, no, that's not right. I should be able to talk about any topic I want to talk about and get information out there so people can understand what the truth is. So mm-hmm. that was my motive.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm the same way. I don't think anyone should be told what they can and can't talk about, to be honest right. with you. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If we can't talk about anything, then we're not free. And what are we doing here? What system are we supporting? I guess is right. the bottom line.
Yeah.
We're wasting our time.
Yeah. So that's, I basically have continued on, getting even more bolder with the topic. And I'm very limited because I'm banned everywhere. Any place I go, I get banned. I'm on Twitter, but technically I'm not using my real name. I don't think I am.
Well, even if you were, it's the Twitter guy said it's freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. So you could probably put all you want over there. It just won't be shown. So again, what's the point?
Right. Yeah. So I don't waste my time with Twitter. The only thing I waste my time with is my BitChute channel. That's the main place where I talk to people. They get in touch with me. We share information, and I put my videos up the best I can. I try to encourage people to understand about the topic. And most people really don't have a knowledge of the topic at all. I mean, people should be educated on things. And when it comes to the Holocaust, I'll talk to Jews and they don't even know anything about their own topic. And it's very frustrating because, I try to have debates with people, with Jews or not anymore because none of them want to talk to me. But, I do talk to them if I can. And I got to tell them what the Holocaust is about because they're telling me what they saw on TV, what they saw in a movie. But they're not grasping the truth. They're just seeing something that's being presented to them, complete nonsense. And so I try to show people, see, I get into the topic pretty deeply, explaining people about, what really happened during World War II with the camps, why Jews were put in the camps, what they were doing in the camps, what his plan was with the Jews. I try to explain all that and then show them that when they're telling you 6 million Jews died, that's a bunch of baloney. There wasn't even 6 million Jews in all of Europe under the Third Reich at the time. I try to explain step by step what they say and what the truth is. So it's not like, I do say I'm a Holocaust denier, but here's what I deny. I deny their version of it. I don't deny that the Holocaust was not an event that happened, that people suffered, that people died, that people weren't put in camps. I believe all that. I just don't believe where they go with it to say 6 million Jews died. They were put in gas chambers, you know, 4 million of them, and they were killed in gas chambers, and 2 million were shot or whatever the heck happened to them. See, I really get down to the nitty gritty of what the point is. So it's again, I deny their version of it. But when I have a discussion with people that don't care about my topic, they will say, and this is what they always do, oh, Jim Rizzoli denies the Holocaust. Well, I deny your version of the Holocaust. Okay. Yeah. I don't deny people suffered. I don't, you know, so that's, you know, you got to clarify this when you really get down to the brass tacks of what the hell are you, what are you telling people? But they won't tell, they won't print that. Oh, Mr. Rizzoli denies this. See, I deny the Jews' version of it. Everybody has a version of something, right? Everybody. You know, you watch the news, here's the media has their version of it. Someone else will tell you something else that happened a little differently. So there shouldn't be any problem here discussing it and getting your version out. You know what I mean? But they make a big deal about it.
So why is it so important to get, and I get this with 9/11, for instance, I say that 9/11 was a movie. It was completely fabricated. But then we get other people that dispute 9/11. And they say, well, I agree that it was orchestrated, but I think there were planes. So now we're just splitting hairs all day long. When most people walk around thinking it was 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia that flew a plane into the building and blew it up. So what I'm getting at is you agree on almost everything with regard to the Holocaust, except the total numbers. So how is that worth arguing about?
Well, let me just set you on something straight. Why? Because you brought up a point. I mean, you were talking about, you know, why didn't I get into 9/11?
Right.
That's a valid question because everybody else did, right? Now everybody's still talking about it.
You got it.
Okay. Here's why. Because 9/11, you can't prove anything with 9/11. Nothing. You're just depending on people to tell you about planes, how the building came down. See, there's too many things to deal with 9/11, and each one is a major hurdle.
Right.
All right? I mean, think about starting with the so-called planes, you know, the people on the planes, the planes hitting the buildings, the plane going into the Pentagon, the plane going into the Shawshank or whatever the hell it's called there. You know, see, that's why I don't touch 9/11, because 9/11, it's circular reasoning, because you can't prove one iota of it. And that's why I don't waste my time with it. Now, Holocaust, a little different. Very simple. Very simple thing. It's the simplest topic to deal with. And that's all you have to say. All right. And here's what we're dealing with here. All right. The mainstream media and the Jews and everybody that want to promote the Holocaust, they're telling us that the Holocaust was the biggest genocide ever of a group of people. Right.
Okay.
That's what they say. Okay. It's a genocide. All right, all these people were murdered. Well, let's get down to brass tacks here. If we have a genocide or a murder of a group of people, 6 million of them, all right, you're going to have to prove a couple things to me. First of all, you're going to have to prove what the murder weapon was to kill them. Mm-hmm. What's your murder weapon? How did you kill these 6 million Jews? Or people in the, not just Jews, there was other people in the camps too. All right, well, they killed them in gas chambers. Well, oh, okay. That's that, you know, I'm being a forensic guy now. I'm a forensic expert, right? Trying to look at this. All right. So now 6 million Jews and they were killed in gas chambers. That's your weapon. All right. Let's find the weapon. Let's go to Auschwitz, the main camp, the biggest camp today. I'm going to go to Auschwitz and I'm going to find out what happened there? Well, I'm finding out that there's no gas chambers. There's no gas chambers. You're telling me there were gas chambers that killed 4 million people. And so now I'm going to go to Auschwitz and I'm going to look at the building and wait a minute, where's the gas chambers? There's no gas chambers. So you're talking about fake news. I mean, they're presenting to us all this bullshit about gas chambers and they can't even show you a gas chamber. So then they invent what they want to show you as a gas chamber. Now, remember, the United States is the only country that had homicidal gas chambers. Only country in the world. So what would you expect in Germany to see? You'd expect to see a room that executes people like they did in the United States with a gas chamber that was made just like the United States one, because a gas chamber is, you know, it's a pretty intricate little device here. It's a, you know, there's all different types of them, but, you know, big, it's a big metal ball, however it is, big room, all surrounded with metal and glass. It's got pumps in it. It's got vacuum systems in it. I mean, it's a very complicated process. Okay, I'm going to go to Germany. I'm going to see if one of those is over there. Got to be one of those over there killing 6 million people, 4 million, actually. All right. So now you go there. There's no gas chamber. And they're showing me a room in Auschwitz that is all concrete. It's just an empty room. It had no blowers in it, no heaters in it, nothing. It's just an empty concrete room in a building next to a crematory. It's like, there's no gas chamber, but you're telling me this is a gas chamber. Well, hold, look, I'm not stupid. I'm in the room. I'm standing in the room right now. This room is not a gas chamber. I mean, it looks like a someone's garage, you know, concrete garage. You pull the car and you can change the oil in it. And so there's the thing with the whole, that's what makes the Holocaust so unique. That's why I don't mess around with 9/11, because everybody, we're still arguing about the planes, no planes, thermite, atom bombs, you know, fire, no fire. It came down, you know, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's still talking about it, but not the Holocaust. Very simple. There are no gas chambers. So what do you want to do? I want a picture of a gas chamber. So I say to people, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give somebody $1,000. If you can show me a picture of a real homicidal gas chamber that killed people in Germany. Nobody, to this day, nobody. Because there's no picture. But everybody's talking about gas chambers. Oh, I was in the gas chamber. I was going backwards in the gas chamber. I saw the gas chamber. Nobody has seen a gas chamber because there's no gas chambers. But they're talking about them like crazy. Everybody's in the camp, all these Holocaust survivors, all talking about gas chambers. Can you tell us what it looked like? No. I'm just telling you. So that's why I stick with the Holocaust. It's the simplest thing to deal with. One thing, that's all I got to deal with. I don't have to worry about planes and trains and automobiles and all that stuff with the 9/11. I just have to worry about all you people are promoting the biggest lie ever based on nothing. Nothing. There's nothing to show that there was this, you know, contraption that we're putting Jews to death in. Nothing.
So why do you think that this particular story is being protected so vehemently by the regime? I call it the regime now because this regime is worldwide. It's obvious, whatever you want to call them. But why is this being enshrined into law? Like, for instance, 9/11, quote, they don't call us 9/11 denialists. But
you don't go to jail for it either.
Right.
I mean, think
so why? Why this one? Why?
Well, because this one set up everything for today.
Okay.
Once they, what, here's what they did with this Holocaust thing. And we got to go back a little bit with the war. Okay. Right. So here we are, we're fighting, you know, the Germans are fighting, you know, they're getting at the end of the war, you know, they got buried, they got the shit kicked out of them and all that. Yeah. All right. So now they lose the war. Now the Allies, you know, during this time period, now at the end of the war, they were doing some pretty bad things. They bombed 150, 160 cities, German cities, innocent people. These people weren't fighting. They were just innocent people in these cities. They completely firebombed them and killed thousands upon thousands of people. So now we got a problem here because these Allies, they're going to have to be taking the task for killing all these people and give an answer why they killed all these innocent people that weren't involved in the war at all. Remember, the Germans lost. The innocent people, what did they do wrong? But you killed them all at the end of the war. So the Allies were in a very bad predicament here. So what they had to do, they had to take the blame off of them and put it on the Germans. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we got to make it look like the Germans were doing something bad to these people in those camps, like killing them in gas chambers and shooting them. See, we had to turn the tables on the Germans. Now the Germans were the bad guys. Now we're going to bring the Germans to court. The Nuremberg trial, we're going to put them on trial. You see what just happened? Everything that the United States and all the Allies were guilty of, they got away with it. All right. But the Germans, they went to trial for it. And what was their guilt? The Germans' guilt was they lost the war. That was their only guilt. And you know, one of the things they brought out about the reason why they brought them to trial, all these men, they said that they were fighting an aggressive war. Wow. What the hell? An aggressive war. What the hell? Wait a minute. Isn't bombing 150, 160 innocent cities of people in those cities? Isn't that kind of like a, you know, a war that you really don't want to be involved in? An aggressive war on innocent people? You see my point? See, the Americans and the Allies.
So it's a cover story. They're covering for their crimes.
That's
And nobody knows about them either, I would
say. No. And that's why in the Nuremberg trial, what happened with the Nuremberg trials? That we had 20-something, 20 men and whatever put on trial. And some of them were just civilians. This is a military trial. How can you put a military – how can you put a civilian in a military trial? You just can't – that would never happen now. It would never happen, all right? So they put these 20 people on trial, and they found them guilty because they lied. Everybody came in and lied, and they all the bullshit stories about the gas chambers and shootings and all this stuff they brought up and everything else. You know, it's funny when it comes down to the Holocaust part of this because, you know, of all the testimony given during the Nuremberg trials, you know, months and months of testimony. There was only probably about 20 minutes of dealing with the Holocaust topic in all that time. Only 20 minutes they talked about the Holocaust. So you executed 10 men because of what? Because you had to get rid of them. And the reason why they had to get rid of these men is because if those men lived, all right, they would have had a story to tell later on, wouldn't they? See, they now what would have happened is, if they went to prison, then they're going to, you know, be writing books. They're going to be telling people what really happened during the war. They're going to tell people that, no, there were no gas chambers in these camps. Hitler didn't have an extermination policy to kill these people. He put them in the camps to get them out of the way. He wanted to get them all out of there, get them out of Europe. But the war came and he couldn't do it anymore. He wanted to send them to Madagascar. He wanted to send them to Palestine. Well, I don't know if he really wanted to send him to Palestine, but you know, he had a relationship with the Zionists because the Zionists wanted to get him to Palestine, and you know, Hitler said, "Oh, look at it. If you want to get him out of here, get him out. Hey, wherever you take him, just get him out of here." And they couldn't follow through on it because the war happened, so that didn't happen. So Hitler was stuck with him. He was stuck with all these thousands and thousands of people. What am I going to do with them? I got to do something with them. So he put them in the camps. He had to get them out of the way because they were considered, you know,
enemies of war.
Enemies of war. Yeah. He couldn't allow these people to run around the whole countryside being out there. And so he put them in the camps. And that's why they ended up in the camps. But Hitler figured out, wow, look at now that we got them in the camps, we might as well put them to work. And so he put them in the camps, put them to work. The ones that couldn't work, older people, kids, he, you know, they put them in Auschwitz, a whole special section in Birkenau where women, you know, elderly women and elderly men and kids were put. They weren't killed. They were still there. But see, let's listen to their story. What is their story? Well, their story is, well, you know, the Jews are coming into the camps 1944. This is where most of it happened, they claim. 1944, we got the Hungarians, 450,000 Hungarians came into Auschwitz camp, and they 98% of them were exterminated right the day they got in the camp, they were all exterminated. I mean, it's like, whoa, this could never happen. You can't kill 450,000 people in a day or two. I mean, you know, this went over, they claim, maybe 4 or 5, 6 months, maybe, because it was like March, April, May, June, July, say 8 months or whatever, 450,000 people. You're talking about 80,000 people a month. I mean, really? You know, it couldn't happen. It's impossible. You cannot kill, you know, 80,000 people a month or more, 100,000 maybe, could be even 100,000 or more in a camp. How are you going to kill them? There were no gas chambers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's their story.
But why do they have to, like, even today? So really you're saying that they have to keep the official story. They have to keep it straight because otherwise people would find out that the Allies were actually the ones committing the atrocities.
Yes.
Now, if that came out, what would change? Because now we're almost 100 years later. What do you think would change? Because
there's more to the story. See, it's just not that.
Okay.
It's the money they got out of it. Say this is a money-making proposition for the Jews because now this Holocaust topic for them is a big moneymaker. Because right after the war, down the years, 50s, the 60s, getting into the 70s now, Holocaust wasn't a big topic, wasn't discussed. It was nothing was going on in the media. But all of a sudden, they start making movies about the Holocaust. And now people are seeing the movies, and now they're watching the movie, and they're believing what the movie says about what happened.
Right.
Now, remember, it's a movie, folks. You know, Schindler's List was a movie. It's a fictional movie. It wasn't based on facts. It was based on fictional things. Those things they're showing you in that movie did not happen. But everybody believes them. They watched the movie. And so now what happened is all the Jews, remember, these Jews have been out of the, you know, most of them survived. 98% of the Jews survived the camps. But all of a sudden now, they're looking at that movie. It became their life. Wait a minute. This is what happened to me in the camp. Yeah, just like that movie. Yeah. That's what happened to me in the camp. And now they're writing books. You know, they're making movies. They're seeing the money is rolling in and in and in, and it's just a big money maker for them. They've made billions and billions of dollars on this Holocaust lie, and here we are now.
Well, my thought on it is that if this is a lie and they enshrine it into a law that you can't question it, that will become a template for future lies. You see, that's my biggest concern because this is the past. They're reinforcing the past, and now we're told we can't question this set of things, and maybe most people agree with that, and they don't see the danger that, okay, if we're going to start arguing about what really happened on 9/11, now that's going to be put into law. We can't question what happened with COVIDs. Then you can get – so to me, that's the bigger danger. That if we start allowing certain things not to be questioned, then the list will go on and on, and you'll have a list as long as the Bible.
Right, right.
But
I know. See, here's the problem. Okay. See, the problem isn't 9/11. Mm-hmm. 9/11 is just a rabbit hole taking you away from what's really the problem. The Holocaust and what happened after the Holocaust is the problem. But everybody's getting into these other topics because they know you can't come against the Jews. See, the Jews have built this up so powerfully. They have controlled the narrative so powerfully that if you even make a peep about their Holocaust topic, they go crazy on you. You'll lose your job. You'll get kicked out of your town. I mean, you'll go to jail. You know, they're trying to do this in Canada. I know that. So this is why it's important for people to see the Holocaust. Like you said, it was the start of this, but nobody's going back to it. They still shy away from it and go to the other topics because the other topics, no problem. I don't have to worry about it. I could talk about 9/11 until the cows come home. I could talk about COVID until the cows come home, unless you're a doctor, unless you're working in the field. See, the people that are affected by those topics, they're working in the field. That's why they come against them. But you or I, it's not a big deal to us. But yeah, the people that are in the field, those fields, yeah, they're going to get nailed. But, you know, but you ever notice, I don't know if you noticed this about the COVID stuff. When people start talking about the COVID, you ever listen to them and they start talking about Nazis?
Well, they tie the word Nazi is thrown around so loosely that it doesn't even mean anything anymore.
No, but they use it, don't they? They start talking about, they're saying, well, you know, those shots that you shouldn't really have to take those shots. Now you're behaving like the Nazis.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's what they're doing. And now everything goes back to the Holocaust.
Right.
So now another thing that they did with this COVID stuff, you know, I'll just kind of talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Is it all stems. Remember, the COVID people are absolutely right to say, I don't want the shot. I don't want anything dealing with this. Please leave us alone. All right. Well, what does it go back to? Guess where it all goes back to? The Nuremberg trials.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Do you understand what I'm saying about the Nuremberg trials? What happened there?
Right.
Why do you think the COVID thing all started? And all these people saying their rights to have their rights because they've convinced people now. See, they've convinced people that Hitler was doing all these experimentations of people in the camps, and Mengele was doing this and that, and you know, sawing people in half and taking their eyeballs out and switching their eyeballs, and you know, all this crazy stuff, right? And so it comes down to, you have the right to decide what's done to you, but they're using the Holocaust lie to promote it. You see how important that is? And that's why the COVID thing is such an interesting topic now, because they're getting into the Holocaust here. You're talking about the Holocaust, Nuremberg, you know, laws, your rights as a person in regards to the medical professions and what's being done to your body. You're telling me it goes back to Nuremberg and those laws because they're telling you that people were being killed by the Germans in the camps? No, didn't happen. I mean, they're right in what they're saying, that you have a right to decide what medical treatment should be on you, but it doesn't go back to Germany. It doesn't go back to what happened in those camps because nothing was happening in those camps.
Yeah.
You see how the Holocaust got dragged into the COVID nonsense?
Well, I see that. And actually, my daughter brought this up to me tonight because she's not too happy that I'm talking about things around World War II either. She said she saw on TikTok a story about Unit 731. Have you ever heard of this story?
No.
Unit 731. And this is where I told her, listen, you cannot believe anything you read, especially when it comes to history, because in order to get people, soldiers, to fight and shoot someone, an enemy, if they ever do that in real war, you have to demonize the hell out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, it says unit, and here, talk about stories you don't hear about. I didn't even hear about the story, but someone put it on TikTok, which is where everyone is right now. Unit 731, short for Manchu Detachment 731, and also known as the Camo Detachment and the Ishii Unit, was a covert biological and chemical warfare research and development unit of the Imperial Japanese Army that engaged in lethal human experimentation and biological weapon manufacturing during the Second Sino-Japanese War, 1937-1945, and World War II. It killed an estimated 200,000 to 300,000 people. So here we go again, another story of the enemy committing atrocity. They even conducted the experiments mostly on Chinese, because we all know the Japanese and Chinese hate each other, and they called the people they did tests on logs. So, you know, here we, so this is a whole area that nobody made a movie out of this one, I don't think.
But well, you know what, you know why? You know why there's not a movie made out of this?
Right.
Guess who wasn't involved?
Right. Well, yeah, okay. Well, you think the Chinese that are starting their own form of Hollywood, maybe they'll do a movie on it, because
think about this, all right? Look at the United States. Who do they put in the prison in the United States? The Japanese, right?
Right. Well, of course, they were the enemy.
Oh, that's right. But you don't hear about gas chambers there, do you? You know why? Because there were no Jews involved.
Right.
If there were Jews in those Japanese camps, I'm sure they would have been talking about gas chambers.
Right, but it just shows you, though, that you have to demonize the enemy. And now, of course, we can tie it all to the Israeli conflict right now that we're being told about, where the Palestinians are being called less than human and the propaganda against them is off the charts. So it's the same old story, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the problem with Gaza and the situation going on there, that we don't even know what's going on there. They're just showing you video, like you did a great show last week, by the way. I loved your show. That's why I wanted to come on your show, because you did such a good job with that show. I said, I want to be on this guy's show because he knows how to do a show. All right, he understands. Thanks. So that's why. But anyway, I mean, well, you know Phil, and Phil and I have been doing shows together now. And
yeah, I put them on my platform. I think they're good shows because there aren't too many people. They're
absolutely good. And a lot of people hate them. They hate them on my BitChute channel. They hate them.
I mean, that means you're talking about the right thing. That's why.
Well, that's the thing. And it's like, wait a minute here. People, just look at what they're showing you. You get a question. Everything, the whole narrative of what happened here with Israel and Gaza, who's in charge, who wants this to happen, who wants that to happen, and the people in these videos, look at the video, look at the babies. You notice they're showing you a lot of babies in these videos. Now
that's because the enemy eats babies.
That's right.
The oldest trick in the war book. That's
right. And so they're tugging on all the people's heartstrings and emotions, showing the babies, and it looks like a rubber baby. That baby doesn't even have any broken bones. You just pulled the baby out of all the stuff that came on top of the baby, all the debris. And then no scratches. It's got something on the head because you're covering up the head. You can't see.
And Phil is doing great work. Fake Nukes, Phil. I really enjoy your shows that you have with Fake Nukes. He came out of nowhere. I can't even remember how I found. Maybe I saw him on your channel. I don't remember how I found Fake Nukes, Phil. I don't really make notes of how I find people. But he's doing great work. He's going back in time. He's looking at all the hoaxes. And his main mantra is show me the bodies.
Yes.
And there are no bodies for the most part, because
we don't get shown anything because we
don't need to be shown, because nobody needs any kind of convincing.
That's right.
Just go along with it. So I'll put a link to Fake Nukes channel. All he does is just show the footage that we're being given just laughing at it. Basically, he's not really doing anything other than putting it up there, laughing and saying, look at this is fake. And you will see things you never saw before because you weren't looking for them. But it's pretty easy to see, isn't it?
Well, I'm just saying there's some things going on over there. I think some of these videos aren't even being done over there. I think they're being done somewhere else, and they're putting them and making them look like they're coming from over there. And I have a question. How many people are even in Gaza?
Yeah, I said
I really question. You're telling me there's 2.5 million people in Gaza? I really don't think so. I think there's not as many as you think. And a lot of them have probably already gotten out of there. And they're just bombing the place.
Right now, the IDF is telling everyone, well, we can't invade northern Gaza yet because of a million and one excuses. The weather, the full moon. But really, what I think is happening, and it takes a lot of convincing to convince people of this idea. War in modern times, and maybe it goes farther back, is just strategic relocation and controlled demolition. So I think they're having problems getting rid of every last person out of northern Gaza, because there's, make no mistake about it, they want that land. It's all about territory. So they want that real estate badly. So they are trying to scare people out. And I'm guessing right now they're just going door to door and dragging people out of the houses. Then they'll move them out of the way. Then they will bomb the place right to the ground. I know people don't like to believe this. I don't think they're killing people. And that's why I know you just said that, you know, the Allies bombed the hell out of Germany. Well, and I know Phil believes that the footage in Dresden is real, but what if the same old techniques were used? They just wanted to level the place and get the Germans out of there. You know, because you have to be, I think you have to be kind of consistent with your views when it comes to what war really is. So that's my take on Gaza. I think they're just moving people out. They're going to clear all of Gaza over a period of time. Maybe it's going to take years. And just eventually they're just going to have that as part of Israel. Gaza will be no more. It'll just be Israel, and they'll rebuild it as an Agenda 21 city.
No, I agree with you on that. I think
why kill people if you don't have to? But you know what? You got to scare the hell out of people to get out. Like if I told you, Jim, you got to get out of your house in Framingham, you're going to say, go pound salt. I'm not leaving. But then if you say, well, we just murdered your neighbor, so you want to be next? Well, I don't think you're really going to argue about that. You're just going to say, you know what? I like Texas better.
I agree with what you're saying. But I think what's happening is, I think a lot of people, I think, have already left. And there's not that many people there. So they have huge areas that are open, and they just keep bombing them so they can get the buildings down. And then when they come in later, look, they don't have to do any explosives. All the buildings are down for them. They just clean it up. Just clean up the mess.
Yeah, but I just dispute whether they have to kill anybody. And I know you said, well, you can't prove anything with 9/11. Well, that's one of the things that they do with 9/11 is they miss the point. The point is, were there anyone in the buildings? If there were no planes, then what about all the people you say were on the plane? So either that means they didn't exist, or they've disappeared somewhere. So if there are no planes, then there's probably no victims. And the Achilles heel for 9/11 was, show me the victims. Show me the proof. And if you go on the New York State total deaths for 2001, guess what? It's consistent with 2000, 1999, 2002. Right. So there was no increase in deaths. There were no... On September 11th, you could look on the SSDI. There were no increase in deaths on 9/11. So that means probably no one dies. And then you can say, well, they're lying about that. Well, I think there are certain things that they cannot or do not lie about for financial reasons. And I think there's some legal term, because we're all commodities at the Vatican or the World Bank. So they don't lie about the total deaths. They might lie about how they died, but they never lie about that. So that is the Achilles heel for 9/11. That is provable, I think. If you can just look it up yourself. Total deaths in New York State for the last 25 years, and the number did not go up by 3,000 in 2001. That's a big deal.
Oh no, I'm not saying 9/11 isn't important. It's very important. Mm-hmm. All right. But again, most people believe the narrative that's being told, but the problem is we got so many things going along with it. But the biggest thing, and I think that's the point I want to say here, the biggest thing that you're saying, which Phil brought out, and I never even thought about it. It's like, wait a minute, did those 3,000 people even die? Right. Were there 3,000 people even in the building? I mean, because I'm getting the idea that they say that a lot of people weren't even in that building. Only a couple floors were occupied. I don't know. I really don't know. See, you'd have to find that information out somewhere. I don't know where you're going to get it, but that's very critical information. You know, I really don't think there was that many people. When those buildings came down, I don't think there was that many people in those buildings. Now, in regards to people dying, I believe people died. I mean, you know, if there was firemen there, if they were next to the building came down on them, I'm sure some of them died. I mean, I don't know. It would seem
like. Not if it was a controlled demolition, and you can watch all the controlled demolitions on CD Eyesight. They clear the area, and guess what? Okay. There was a drill that day, and they cleared the area. So no,
that's very reasonable. Yeah. Very reasonable to me. You know, when I'm thinking about it now, saying, well, you know, you're right. You're right. I mean, they'd you know, but here's the problem. They claim what 300 firemen died.
It's not a problem if you can just you. Hey, listen, if you can fake one thing, you can fake another. I have a whole list of how to fake a death. And it's if you go to fake11.com/11, I have a list of how they fake deaths. I mean, there's many ways to get real people involved, disappear them, reassign them. You know, there's supposed to be a million spooks walking around the United States. So there's a lot of people on the payroll.
I agree with you. But here's the difference with 9/11. See, we got two very different scenarios, because the Holocaust is just the opposite. People lived. Right. You see what I'm saying? In other words,
they still have a big death number, though. That's the point.
Oh, no. There's no big death number here.
That's the promoted number, though, you see.
Well, no, the how many people died during the Holocaust? Of all the people that died in all the camps, maybe at the most, I'm being very generous, you know, between 300,000 and 500,000.
Mm-hmm. That's what it. What about how many people died in World War II? Have you ever heard that number?
Oh, yeah. I have a problem with numbers.
Tens of millions.
Yes, I do have a problem. I got a problem with numbers from both sides, honestly. Okay, when you give me a number, 25,000, 100,000, 200,000, I have a problem accepting it, because you're going to have to show me more than just a number, all right? But again,
75 million people died. 85 million people. There you go.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how they come up with the figures. I really think there's, look how many Jews they say were in the country. I mean, in the world in 1940-ish. Okay. You're talking 15 million plus Jews. At the end of the war, there was 15 million, like 300,000 or 400,000 Jews, and supposedly 6 million were killed. How the hell's that happen? You know, makes no sense. Does it make sense to you?
It's a biblical number, and people identify, I think, with a number from way before World War II. I think that's sort of how that story.
No, I know that. But the point is, most of the Jews, 98% of them probably, survived. They didn't die. There's the difference. So the Jews want you to believe all these people died, but they didn't die. Now 9/11, it's just the opposite. you don't like to hear people die, that's for sure, but let's get the right figures. You know, I like to hear the right figures. I don't think we're getting the right figures anywhere.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. So we've been going about an hour. I got another 10, 15. What do you think of, and I just, when I read your bio, it made sense. When I was looking at your brother and hearing your brother on the same show, I thought, are you guys identical twins? Because I'm having a hard time sorting out who's talking right now, because I couldn't see the screen when I was driving down the road listening to you guys. So you guys are identical twins.
Yeah.
How is that you both, like, I don't agree with anything that my brother has to say. How do you guys?
Well, agree? My brother, we grew up together.
It's amazing.
Everything we did together, we became Jehovah's Witnesses together. All right. Amazing. We went through all that fiasco.
Did you marry sisters?
No.
Okay. I know people.
My brother Joe and I have always been together and close. And, you know, when we got into the Holocaust. He understood it just like me. We had the same questions, you know, being inquisitive. We, you know, went along with each other. We pretty much agree on most things.
Is that just because you're an identical twin? You have the same physical makeup, the brain and all that? Because it is pretty bizarre. It is amazing because it's a topic that doesn't win you friends. So for identical twin brothers to agree, it's almost, the odds are just crazy that you guys think the same way on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is, but that's the way it is. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
I just find it amazing. But so Joe and you do the same type of research or
oh yeah. Joe and I collaborate all the time. I mean, actually, if it wasn't for Joe, see, Joe was a big reader. I didn't read crap years ago. I really wasn't a reader, but Joe was. And Joe read a lot. And that's how we ended up leaving the Jehovah's Witnesses, because he kept reading about stuff about the witnesses that they were doing all these crazy stuff here. And I was in it. I mean, he got kicked out, then I was still in it. And then he's showing me stuff. I said, whoa. And then I accepted what he said, and I ended up getting kicked out too. So, you know, we follow the same reasoning and we agree on the same topics. Joe shows me a lot of topics. I mean, because he does all the reading.
And is there anything you disagree with on this topic between you and Joe?
No.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
No, I wouldn't think so.
You know? No, that's amazing. So we've talked about Zundel. We talk about Fake Nukes Phil. And the reason I like watching you and Fake Nukes, because he's slowly getting you to see all the fakery, which I find fun to watch. Because, you know,
I agree with him. I mean, but the difference between me and Phil is, you see, Phil's got to watch out because he says nobody died. And everybody gets mad at that. So what I try to say is, maybe someone died. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I can't say nobody died. I'm not there. But, you know, I'm sure people are dying over Gaza somehow. Okay, somehow.
Whether people fall down, maybe, you know.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, people murdered.
You know. There's all.
Hey, when people are desperate and running around, bad things do happen. Like when there's chaos, you know, the guy cuts you off in traffic, you get out with your machete and, you know, I'm sure there's people dying in Acapulco right now because of the hurricane that nobody's talking about. When people are hungry, they do really stupid things and they get desperate. So for sure.
Right. So I agree. I agree with Phil. The biggest thing that Phil has helped me with is question everything. Just because someone shows you a video, don't believe it. You know, I look at everything that comes across the mail here. I look at it and I say, what's going on here? What's the bottom line? I always look ahead and say, what's it going to lead to? What's going to end up happening after the event? You know, after the event, let's start, you know, just like 9/11, right? It really, the building coming down is just one part of this equation. What happened later? I mean, think about what happened later, right? Look what they did with the flying and everything else, taking away all your rights.
Homeland security.
That's
$12 billion a year and going up and up and up and up and up.
So there you go. Always look to what happened later or what's going to happen later. Just like COVID. COVID is a bunch of bullshit, yes. But what did they do later? Now we got the vaccine crap. See how they did all that? Everything leads to something else. To enslave you more. That's all it does.
What's your take, and I'll just hold you for maybe a couple more minutes. What's your take on David Cole? Because he's one of the first people I saw that actually went to Auschwitz and took a camera. And what's your take on him?
Well, David Cole, I have questions about him because he did a great job in a lot of stuff he did. And I give him a lot of credit, no doubt about it. But he's not a nice person. Okay. All right? He believes the narrative now that some Jews were killed in gas chambers. And he believes that the Jews were being killed, a mass amount of them. Okay, a couple million maybe or whatever. And I don't buy this. So he's kind of given in. And I don't
think they got them.
I don't know. I don't care if they've got to them or not. I just know that I will use the stuff that's the old stuff. The new stuff, he's useless now. He's just an honorary person. He's banned me from emailing him and talking to him.
Oh, really? Did you ever interview him?
No, he won't. He won't have anything to do with me. He knows who I am. What's his reason, though? Well, because I'm exposing him. He's talking about people, Jews dying in Treblinka, you know, whatever, in gas chambers and all this nonsense. And I'm saying, David, you're full of shit. It didn't happen. Okay? And he's promoting this nonsense. And he comes off like he's so smart. He's just not an acceptable person to get, when you give him information, he doesn't want to look at it. He has all the answers, you know?
Does that make him a gatekeeper?
Oh, yeah. Let me put it this way. He's just not a nice guy to accept truth. Why he doesn't accept it, he tries to make me look like I'm stupid. He thinks he's so smart and everybody's stupid. And and you try to show him, Dave, no, this didn't happen. You know, Treblinka is a bunch of bullshit. If you're talking to me about Treblinka and Jews being killed in Treblinka, you're out of your mind because it didn't happen.
Why the other thing that sort of makes me uneasy about people that talk about this topic all the time, especially on BitChute, everyone seems so vicious in their view. In other words, if you come in with just a question that questions a little bit, you just get pounced upon in the comments, not your channel specifically, but in BitChute in general. And
It's horrible.
It almost seems like they're making the topic even more third rail than it needs to be.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that are just trying to stir up the mud. That's what they're trying to do. And especially if you ever notice, like if you ever get on sites, and I hate this, when people talk about killing people, you know, blacks, killing Jews. I mean, come on, folks, you don't talk like that.
Right.
Why are you here? You're here to try to start trouble, to bring people into this whole problem here of killing people. And I don't like that. To me, I question those type of people that do that. I really question who they are.
Yeah, and isn't it a bit of a, like I've often thought that, and I know you think that the Jews are doing everything. They're running the place and making a mess. Don't you think that could possibly be a trap? Because they've built up this story and now they've built up all the institutions to catch and quarantine people that talk like that so they can literally, with a public sympathy, go after them. So I'm just curious if that makes you just worried.
Here's the problem. Everything is going back to free speech. Mm-hmm. Now you're in Canada, whole different ballgame. You don't got the rights.
We don't have a Bill of Rights.
What they're doing now is they're passing all these supposed, they're not really laws. Okay. They're just,
they're executive orders, aren't they? Or
No. But that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
An executive order has to still work in harmony with the Constitution.
I agree.
Okay. So, HT, you know, all that about HT and all this, and he's going, you know, he goes.
And those are two other guys that they make the whole topic just distasteful.
But that's not even the point.
They're poisoning the well.
Okay, hold on here. The point that I try to deal with is they have a perfect right to say whatever the hell they want. That's it. Bottom line, if you don't like it, too bad. They have a right to do it. If the government's going to come after them, they're going to have a tough time coming after them because we have, again, the Constitution and free speech. That's what it's all about. Again, you might hate what they're saying, but they have a right to say it. And that's the whole thing. That's why I get in my BitChute channel. I let anybody, you know, flat earth, whatever you want to talk about, Christian identity, you want to talk about this or that. I mean, my basic topic is the Holocaust, but when I have a video up about it, whatever. But I give people the opportunity to talk about it. That's the whole point. We should be able to talk about any topic without retribution. But people get all worked up about free speech. In other words, it's free speech, but only my free speech. You know, see, free speech is only free speech to those people that want to take your free speech away. See, right. That's what it's become. So I love all topics. I will listen to every topic.
Yeah. There's not too many people like you that talk about it in a way that isn't really super offensive. I mean, you're very strongly, you have strong opinions, but at least you're listenable. I just find a lot of the other characters that are online that talk about the Holocaust topic are just so distasteful that they just turn you right off. And a normal person is just going to just discount them as a kook. So I'll give you credit that at least you're listenable.
Well, I will debate people logically. Mm-hmm. I will sit down and debate you, and you know, I'll talk to somebody about what I'm saying about the camps and mm-hmm. what happened. You can't kill 450,000 people in 8 months with no gas chambers. I mean, I will just, you know, show you this information. You again, it's just basic information. If you could show me something different, if you could show me, I'm looking for that, you know, homicidal gas chamber, please, somebody out there, $1,000, I'll give you if you can show me that this homicidal gas chamber was used to kill people. Not going to happen. See, not going to happen.
The other guy you interviewed and we're talking about that I started listening to is E. Michael Jones.
Yes.
Before, I never heard of him until you brought him up. So I thought, okay, Jim's talking about him. I'll have to go look him up. And you did an interview with him. Is he a good person to get a good view?
I love E. Michael Jones. I think he's great. The only problem that I have with E. Michael Jones is he's too Catholic-y. He brings his Catholic religion, making that like the big top thing to deal with. And wait a minute. No, you got to separate issues when you talk about my topic, the Holocaust. All right. Because the Catholics have their Holocaust bullshit too. You know, we had a big discussion when I had my debate with him about this guy, Lentz. He was in Dachau. I mean, come on. Lentz was a Catholic. He talked about the Holocaust. He talked about gas chambers. He's a liar. Why would I even want to have Lentz? Why would I want to talk about him? He's a liar.
But yeah, I don't know that story. So I'd have to look into that one.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So E. Michael Jones, I like him. He's great about the Jews. He exposes the Jews. He's good on the free speech issue. You know, again, you can't agree with everybody 100%.
No.
And that's what I find in life. I take the good out of the people. I just don't throw them in the trash because I disagree with them. Whatever they say that I agree with, then I agree with. We get along. But don't push it down my throat. I got to be a Catholic now. You know, that's what he does. You know, oh, you got to get baptized as a Catholic. Oh, I mean, we disagree, Michael. I hate to tell you this. I was a Catholic. I left the Catholic Church, and for various reasons. And, you know, even though I got involved with a crazier religion, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, this is life. You know, you learn, live and learn. But all of it, I don't regret any of it. I don't regret being a Catholic. I don't regret being a Jehovah's Witness because I got something from each one of those things that became a part of my life after that's really helped me deal with people. And that's the whole point. You want to be able to deal with people, all types of people, accept them and have fun. Take the knowledge that they got. They can help you. Learn from them. If you don't agree with them, just walk away from the topic. That's all. But don't go nutty about this. You want to burn them and kill them and hurt them because they don't agree with you. I don't buy any of that stuff. We should all get along. But
Take the good and discard the bad. How long do you think you'll be talking about the Holocaust? Because you're 71, according to your bio.
I'm 71. I'm going to keep talking. Nothing's going to change until I'm dead. So, I mean, what are you going to do? You know?
Because you talk about this every single day, it seems like. There's not one day when you don't say the word, either Jew or Holocaust. Do you think you're going to keep
What else should I talk about? There's nothing more interesting to talk about.
Right. Well, I mean, the whole Israeli thing now, everyone sort of has, they just like COVID now, in case you didn't care about vaccines, you had to for 3 years. And now the whole world has to seem to form an opinion. It's almost demanded of you that you form an opinion on what's going on over there.
Right. But remember, this whole thing in Gaza, the Jews are looking at it as the second Holocaust.
Unbelievable. They tied in 9/11 too, by the way.
Well, that's upset. We can't get away from it. How do you get away from it? The Jews, you know, people tell me, why are you always talking about the Holocaust? You know, because the Jews have this saying, don't, you know, we don't forget, or whatever the hell they say. And I said, Never forget it. I want to forget it. But you're bringing it up into my face every stinking day. I get alerts about the Holocaust and some Jew being going here or going there, some temple being destroyed or shot at, some Jew speaking here about their Holocaust lies, you know, experience in the temple or whatever they're talking about. They don't leave us alone with it. I want to forget about it. Get it out of my life. But they're the ones that are keeping it out there, not me. They're bringing it up, and I just have to keep taking them up on it and say, will you please shut up about this topic and the Jews.
Do you think the Jews worldwide, most Jews, are victims just as much as anyone else?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Jews have
been— They're actually in worse shape.
Yes.
They get it the worst.
Yes. See, what happened with the Jews is they've been fed, a bill of goods. Of fake goods. They've been shown something that they, you know, they claim now it happened, but it didn't happen. So they've been brainwashed. Okay. Right. So yeah, that's what happened. But the problem with the Jews now is they're going along with it. I mean, I would love to see them not.
What choice do they have? They're being vaxxed. They're one of the most vaxxed countries in the world. Do you think that people that run Israel are fake Jews?
Well, again, they're not. See, that whole thing, who a Jew is or whatever.
Right.
Judaism is the worship of the devil. It's Satanism. That's what the Jews are. They worship Satan. Mm-hmm. That's it. Simple as that. Most Jews today aren't even religious anyway.
Right.
All right. Most of them are atheist, humanist. Very few Jews believe in the Bible. Very few. When you look at the whole of them. Okay.
Right.
So.
So when you're calling out the Jews, you're not calling out those people, are you?
No. Well, I call them all out because they're still spreading the Holocaust lie. They're not standing up for it and saying, you know, you're right. You know, we've been shown a bill of goods here and it's a big lie. They're going along with it. So I just put them all in the same pot. If you Jews don't stand up to the truth, expose that Holocaust lie like you should be doing, then I have no respect for you. No respect at all.
Well, just like Lynn, my regular guest on Tuesdays, has no patience for Muslims. She said, if you Muslims aren't going to defend yourselves because you did not fly those planes into the Twin Towers because there were no planes, if you're not going to speak up, she gets mad at them.
Well, I don't blame her. I mean, you should be. Look at the Muslims, the Jews, they're all in the same boat together. Mm-hmm. They really are. They make it look like they're against each other. They're all brothers. They're all friends, you know. Right. They all get together. I mean, really. But it's disgusting to see that people don't stand up for what they should stand up for, and the Muslims don't do it either. The blacks don't do it either. You know, the blacks are being used by the Jews, to get their way or whatever. And everybody lets the Jews run them, and nobody speaks up against the Jews. And it's sad because we can solve this problem in the world with the Jews and what they're doing, the control factor here. And people are afraid because they know what's going to happen to them if they talk about the Jews. They know they could lose their job. They could be kicked out of a university or college. There's a lot of things that can happen to them. And it does happen to them. You can't run for politics. I mean, really, you know, just because of the Jews. You cannot get into politics if you disagree with Israel. Can't do it.
Is there a difference between Jews and Zionists?
Well, again, a Jew can be a Zionist, but right. There's Christian Zionists too. So
more
not all, not all Zionists are Jews.
Most of them are Christian, aren't they?
What's that?
Most of them are Christian.
Oh no, well, yeah, because the numbers.
Just the numbers. You got it.
Yeah, the Zionist Jews is not as many as you might think. There's a lot of Zionist Christians, and the Zionist Jews are using the Zionist Christians to do all the dirty work and get all their money. There's your problem. See? It's horrible with how powerful this small group of people are, the Zionist Jews, again, taking advantage of the regular Jews that aren't Zionists, which there's not that many.
Most of them, right?
Yeah, well, not well. Remember, they claim there's 15 million Jews in the world. I don't buy that. I think there's people who claim to be Jews. I think there's probably 50 million people who claim to be Jews. They just don't admit it, right? They're not religious Jews. They don't go to temple, you know, but they will use their Jewish heritage however they can do it if it benefits them. So, you know, however it benefits them. See, that's how they do it, you know. But there's not as many of Jews around, you know, really, when you really think about it, but they're very powerful. They control everything. And that's what the problem is. Small group of people controlling everything. It's not fair. It doesn't make sense. It's not fair. And that's what's happening. What are you going to do?
Okay, Jim, we've been going about an hour and a half. You put out one or two videos of your own a day, I believe, plus you post other videos on your channel. Does that sound right? How do you maintain? Is this your main job?
Well, I mean, I'm retired, so I can do this. You know, I have a whole way I do things. I get up in the morning, I go walk, I do my walk and talk. You know, I get that done, and I bring other videos in. If I see something going on, someone shows me something, I'll put it up. I'm always doing something, and Diane's the same thing. We're always working most of the day with our video site, with videos, communicating with people. It's like a full-time job, but it's fun. Right. I mean, I love doing it. I mean, it's very enjoyable what I do. I get to talk to a lot of people, meet a lot of people. I never would have known who you the hell you were, right? Yeah. I mean, I met you. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, I love meeting all these people from all over the world that you get to meet them and you get to share things with them. And,
so you don't do it for the money.
Well, yeah, money. That's sure. It costs me money to do what I do. You know?
Right.
And I don't ask for money. I mean, look, I think you're right for asking for money, and people should support you because you have to pay for this. And I think that's important. That's where, see, we have to support the people that are spending money to do what they're doing. I don't have really that any expenses because it shoots free. But if it got to the point that I had to spend a lot of money, I'd let people know, because believe me, I don't get much in Social Security. I believe me, if you knew how much I got in Social Security.
You don't have a big pension?
No. I have no pension.
Wow.
I got no pension. Okay. So, but I don't want people's money. I don't ask for people's money because Diane and I, we live very comfortably here. If people need money, then you help them. And don't be afraid to ask for it if you need it. But I don't, you know, need people's money. I won't ask them for money because I don't have any expenses to run what I have to run. There's nothing. If BitChute's free, I got rid of all my websites. I did have websites before that cost me money.
Right.
And I got rid of them all because, you know, why am I paying for these websites when they ban me or not, you know, take the website down and I'm still got to pay for it? You know,
so I don't tell us, just give us a quick summary of the shows you do. Then we'll call it. Okay.
Well, them. I mean, we do a show every morning. It's called Our Walk and Talk. You can see it, the third show down.
Yeah.
And Diane and I walk about 40 minutes. And what I do is I take notes of all the things we talked about the day before. I write them down. And then when I go walking, I bring the points up. I'm walking anyway. You see what I'm saying? I mean, whether I did that or not, I'm walking anyway. So I figured, why don't I use my 40 minutes of walking to do something positive and get a video up? And that's what we do. We do that, get that up. We have the Hoax Busters show we do on Saturday night. Every Saturday night on Speak Free Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern time, we do that. We get that up. So that's two shows. I mean, the Walk and Talk is every day. Speak Free Radio is once a week. And, you know, then whatever else I come across, whatever videos I see or whatever, I just put them up as they come along. And there's always something. There's always something I get that is interesting and I put up. And, you know,
and you do a show with Phil now every Friday, right?
Yeah, every Friday. Yep. I do a show with Phil. So I get, people interview me and that becomes a show. I'll put this video up if you send me the link to it.
Yeah.
And I'll put it up on my site. So there's always something that's going up and something going on, and you know, we're doing something, and it's fun. I mean, being retired can be really bad. Yeah. I know people are bored. They're bored. They don't know what to do, you know, but I'm busy as a beaver doing all this stuff. Sometimes I don't even have enough time to get it all done, but I love it. It's fun. I get it up there. I have communication with people. I learn a tremendous amount from people. That's one thing good about having my BitChute channel. People will put links up to things I don't even know. Like, look, you brought that J31 thing up today. Never even heard of it. I've never even heard of it.
But I never heard about it either. My daughter told me.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, I learn from people. I hear it. I go check it out later. It's really fun. Learning, you know, I'm 71, but you're always learning because there's always things you don't know. There's just too much out there. And people know more than me in certain topics, and they'll send the information my way so I can look at it and benefit from it. And I try to pass it on to other people. So that's what I try to do, you know?
No, that's great. You see, you're just proof that you're never too old to keep learning. And that's how you keep going when tomorrow you could learn five new things. So it's a motivating factor.
Yep.
Okay, well, Jim, I wanted to interview you because you're a likable old guy. I like you. You're a likable character, and it's for a very difficult topic to listen to for most people. So,
you know,
you're not angry.
I mean, no, I'm not an angry person. But I got to give you credit because I think what you're doing is great. I mean, you're getting I didn't know anything about your show, so now you know. Send me links or whatever. Send me anytime you do a show, just send me a link to it. If I don't get to it, fine, but at least it's there because there's too many things that are coming across my wavelength here. You know, things are coming my way, but at least if it's in my email, then I can get to it later.
Yes. I'm the same way. I use my email, and I mentioned to you, check out Proton Mail. Cause you might not want to be on Gmail, the Google system.
Well, I'm not worried about it. See, Proton Mail's, believe me, you might think it's all fun, you know, good and protected. Yeah. You're not. Let me tell you, you're not. Everything that's, if it's free,
yeah,
it's monitored.
I personally have my own server for email. So, it's for people that I didn't think had their own server. It's maybe better than Gmail, but yeah, I'm the same way. I use my email as my main way to navigate stuff. So if anyone wants to contact me, just go to my website and email me. My email is totally public. I don't mind giving it out because I can sort out the junk and block people if I don't want it. So, So I like your stuff, and I'm learning a lot of stuff from your channel. So I really appreciate what you're doing, and keep it up, and maybe we'll have you back on again.
All right. Well, I'm here, you know, anytime you want to talk. And again, good luck with your channel, and you're doing a great job. I hope people support you. Help you out because that's important. We got to help the people out that are doing what's right.
I agree. And we have to, no one else is going to promote our sites at all anywhere. So the only way we can really get bigger audiences is just to cross promote. That's what I've found.
Yep. No, I agree.
And that's why I keep my topics wide and I keep my mind wide open. So thanks a lot, Jim. I appreciate it. And have a great night, and we'll watch you on your walk and talk tomorrow.
Okay.
See if you mentioned it on tomorrow's.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it tomorrow.
No, I appreciate it, Jim. All right. Okay. Have a great night. Thanks.
Yeah, take care now. Bye.
All right. There goes Jim Rizzoli. He's got a BitChute channel. Check it out. There goes me. We went a little longer, but Jim is a great talker. Obviously, he knows what he's talking about, and he's good at it. I don't talk half as much as he does. I can't keep up with all the shows. He does so much content. And you don't have to agree with everything he has to say. But my main thing that I like about Jim is he's right. You should defend everyone's right to say anything, even that if it's offensive. That's the whole point of the First Amendment. And you should defend that right, because if you don't defend it, you may be next. Whatever you have to say may be deemed offensive or, as they call, hate speech. And then you're going to be screwed. So in the end, make sure you're consistent and Jim is. And again, he doesn't necessarily agree with everything I say. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but I like his attitude that you should be willing to learn new things. And if you don't think 9/11 was the real deal, then you also have to go back in history and just start peeling back the onion of all these stories to try and figure out what's going on, because you're watching history being rewritten and faked in real time every single day. So just think, before people could communicate, before the internet, how impossible it would have been to try and decode these things and try and figure out what's going on. Especially when things get memory-holed, revised, rewritten, burned all the time. Okay, as Jim said, support content that you like. We use most of the money to keep FakoTube up. FakoTube is running well tonight. The chat is doing very well. Not Shocked, Kevin, Unknown User, Maxine, Greg, thanks for joining in. Jay, thanks everyone on YouTube. Not too busy tonight. I guess it wasn't the most interesting topic for some people. I don't know. But don't forget, you can donate at fakeologist.com/donate. Don't forget, I've spent a lot of time on the forums, fakeologist.com/forums2. There's a ton of stuff on there on the Israel thing, on Lewiston, Maine, all kinds of topics. It's been very busy over there. Check it out. Acapulco. God knows what's going on over there. I don't tend to know. So we maintain all this stuff thanks to your support, and thanks to the monthly donors, thanks to the one of donors. Really appreciate it. You just pay whatever you think the site is worth. Could be $1 a month, could be a one-time donation of 33. Whatever you choose, it's the best way. The whole site is wide open. There are no paywalls. We make it as easy as possible for you to support and soak in all the content. Thanks again to Jim Rizzoli on BitChute. Links are in the show notes. The show notes on the FakoTube video, there will be a link to bring you to the blog where all the notes are laid out. Thanks everyone for joining, and we will talk to you next day, tomorrow perhaps. Take care.